Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod, your home for Detroit Tigers opinions, discussion, nonsense, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Alex Urban.
What is going on? Welcome to Eat 'Em Up. I'm Jordan Hall, joined by the king of the 2024 NFL Draft. It's Alex Urban. Alex, you had yourself a couple big days in the D.
It was really cool. You know what? Let me start out by saying I'm so proud of our city, just the way that everyone showed up, showed out, shattered the attendance record. I mean, just really makes you proud to be of the area that you grew up in, a Michigander. And yeah, it was a beautiful thing. Got to be stage adjacent. I didn't actually get to be on the stage, but I was right near the opening where, you know, the people walked out and called the picks. Got to meet a member of the New York Giants, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets. And
really?
One of my clients, you know, favorite of yours and mine, Moots Pizzeria and Bar, they were on the stage during a commercial break. So overall, a fantastic weekend in the D.
I can see some synergy there between DeVito and Moots. That's I feel like that's a natural fit.
So you know what's so funny is Moots was invited to be in a pizza showdown, they called it. So they invited Moots and another spot called Detroit Pizza Bar, which is Detroit style. And they're like, hey, we're going to have this Detroit versus New York style thing, which was cool. There was no winner. You know, they had Aleem McNeil, who's a member of the Lions, as a celebrity guest, and also Tommy DeVito. But before they brought both restaurants out, they were hyping up the crowd. And of course, Detroit style, everybody just went crazy. And then New York style, booed. So I just looked at my clients at Moots and I was like, I'm sorry, guys. This is still a great opportunity. But, you know, it was fun. They did a great job. Tossed a little dough on the stage and everybody went home happy.
Yeah, that's I can see how that happens, but that is a very, very tough break. But at least you got freaking Tommy DeVito on your side. He was toast of the town in the league for like, what, 3 weeks before he went back to being the guy that wasn't very good at Illinois.
Just being back to the Tommy Cutlets, nobody knew. No, he was super gracious, very polite behind the scenes. You know, took some photos. So he was a really nice guy.
So this is how my mind works. I'm just thinking of all of the people from either New York team that it could have been. How the backup quarterback is the one that got the nod. I love it. I would rather see him than Daniel Jones for sure.
Absolutely, or whoever's second string these days, because I think our boy Tommy all the way down on the depth chart.
Poor Tommy. At least he's got a pretty cool agent that wears pretty cool suits.
Come on. I'm doing the Italian hands right now. You can't see if you're listening, but come on. You know.
I think that's racist.
I grew up on Linguini. I can say it.
So we have some contest winners. We had the merch collab with Athletes Logos. That we ran the contest for, and when we picked two winners, the first winner is Ryan at RDRyan33, and the second is Aunt Troya, longtime listener. I didn't even write down his handle. I'm sure it's Aunt Troya, something like that. So congrats, guys. I will get in touch with you via the show DMs, get your order, and get those out to you. It's four different designs. If you didn't win, sometimes, you know, we all lose sometimes. There is still the chance for you to get your shirt, athleteslogos.com. And again, I will link it in the show notes one more time. I'm not going to lie, after this week, probably won't mention it so much. But as far as I know, Alec Burleson hit a home run and we are now behind. Gosh dang it. clearly we're recording Tuesday evening in the second leg of the doubleheader. Where was I? Yeah, get your shirts. I think they stay on his website for a long time. There's a Eat 'em Up design and two others. But from here, we'll kind of let you guys do your things. I feel like this day for baseball has just kept hitting us in the nuts. But before we get into how baseball lets us down, let's talk about the city. Well, let's hope that it doesn't let us down, but let's talk about the City Connect jerseys. They are dropping a week from yesterday, Monday, May 6th. Are you excited?
I'm excited to get it over with. I'm excited to not be lingering in my mind of what these possibly could be. I will say Tampa Bay's were, I think the hats are really cool.
Yes, the
jerseys are whatever. I don't like the Phillies at all. I think the Mets are fine. It's like new, old timey. But yeah, I mean, let's see it, right? It's something different. The Tigers really only have the two uniforms they ever wear. So it's something different and it's something limited. So let's see what they come up with so I can complain about it on a future episode. But you know what? I'm not saying that there's not a slight chance that they could be cool. I hope I'm surprised.
Unfortunately, I think that's where I'm at too. There's a slight chance that maybe we might like them. They just do everything wrong all the time. I mean, not even starting with your favorite jerseys, but like the spring training hats, I never like. This is the time. This is the time it's going to be good. Hopefully it's not car themed because I'm anything but a car guy, but I'll buy one almost certainly, as long as it's not terrible. But yeah, I really like the Rays hats. This is going to show you the depths of how nerdy I am. I'm a big bridge guy. I really like bridges. So that the Sunshine Skyway in the Devil Ray on the hats, like I'm about that life. So let's hope we're most of the way that good.
Do you think they're ever going to like lean into what the Cincinnati Bengals do and like actually have something resembling a tiger anywhere on there? I mean, a couple of years ago, the spring training hats, they had the stripes on the D, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a, like, hey, that's an idea that we haven't run the crap out of. Maybe let's try that. And obviously, I'm always for more animals in any capacity. So I would put you in charge of this. I think that would be a good idea.
Before I do anything, I'm going to enlarge the lettering on the back of the jerseys, which I saw that they are finally going to fix their mistake. And by the beginning of next season, we're going to have a passable product again. So hats off to whoever made that decision. I see that the league is smearing Nike instead of Fanatics. But I also saw Fanatics is a big sponsor or donor to the Players Union. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. But the only thing I care about is the jerseys, baby. So that's fine with me.
So say we were to win the World Series in 2024 in the crappy jerseys. Would it dampen it a little bit for you?
I don't know if I'm willing to make that trade. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, willing to find out. How we feel in the moment. But yeah, I saw that news and I'm like, oh man, Alex has to be just ecstatic.
I think the word I used was euphoric. I'm like, this has been such a small thing that's been bothering me for so long and is largely inconsequential to my life, but I still hated it.
I don't know. We have to see them 162 times a year. I'm not sure how inconsequential it is.
That's very true. I'm still not over them changing the D on the front of the jersey, but I'm not going to belabor that point.
Yeah. All right. You ready to talk some ball?
Let's talk ball, Jordan.
Hi, Tigers fans. It's Dan Dickerson, and you're listening to the Eat 'em Up Pod with Jordan and Alex. Go Tigers!
All right, so I wanted to talk about two sweep opportunities that we squandered, but I feel like we should start with the doubleheader. We're recording Tuesday night, so it is currently bottom of the fifth in the second game. But the first game of the doubleheader against St. Louis just absolutely stole our hearts, kicked us in the guts. Jack Flaherty, I'm not going to say that like completely out of nowhere, but where the heck did that come from? And of course, we lost it for him.
Career. I mean, they can't lose that game, Jordan. It's just, they can't lose it. Jack Flaherty has a career game. What do you strike out? 14, 15 guys just throwing smoke against his former team. His mom's there cheering him on. It is inconscionable that they lost that game. Unacceptable that they lost that game in my mind. I mean, you had hit the nail on the head. It was a gut punch. And the only silver lining, I know we talked about this a little bit before, because I was quite upset by this. And then the ice cream truck comes around on my street. I'm able to walk away from baseball a little bit. It was my son's first time even knowing an ice cream truck existed. We went out there, got a Batman popsicle. Made me, you know, allowed me to cool down a little bit. Now we're watching some ball again. But yeah, it was, you can't lose that game, Jordan.
Cooled down, pun intended.
Ooh.
So I'm here that the ice cream from the trucks, it doesn't run quite as cheap as it used to.
$5 for a deformed looking popsicle. Five bones.
Does your son know Batman? Was that like something he picked out? I don't know how young kids get into things.
He picked it out, but he does not know at all what it was. He's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "It's a super," you know, just kind of had to play the part. He knows what Spider-Man is, but they didn't have a Spider-Man popsicle.
Gotcha. Interesting. Spider-Man's the go-to. I'm not really into the world of superheroes. So I didn't know who kind of like the 1A the superhero was. Apparently it's the Spider-Man's.
We could have used Spider-Man during that game with Jack Flaherty, though. I'll tell you that.
Definitely. It's almost like scoring one run on a homer and then just calling it quits wasn't a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of a recurring theme this season, eh?
It really is. Yeah, definitely.
What's the definition of insanity? Just keep trying the same, you know, expecting different results. You're not going to win many game, boys, when you scratch across one run.
No, definitely not. How did you? So, not typically a second guessing podcast, especially of AJ Hinch. But what did you think of the way he handled the bullpen? He brought Jason Foley in to get two outs in the eighth, and then didn't bring him back for the ninth. I think the thought is maybe if he's only throwing 15-ish pitches in the first game, that maybe he could come back in the second. But that one kind of really came back to bite us in the butt.
Yeah, I didn't really understand this. I figure once you use a pitcher in the first game of a doubleheader, he's burned regardless. Like I still don't know, despite him throwing a low number of pitches in the first game, mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see him tonight. So for me, it was kind of a moot point. It's like, just let him throw. I mean, mm-hmm. bring him out again for the ninth, but then you bring out Shelby Miller. He just didn't have it. You know, he's had a rough couple outings here lately. And I know Foley hasn't been as money as he's been in the early part of the season, but I am absolutely second guessing that decision by Hinch. And I think Hinch has had a great season so far regardless, but yeah, that one led to a loss quite literally.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, I kind of assumed that's why he brought him in when he did, that it was just going to be a five out save and we were going to burn him for the day. Like that was going to be worth it. But we wouldn't have him in the second. Then we ended up burning two, and yeah, it, you could almost sense it coming. It kind of felt like we had it coming to us with all of the wasted opportunities. And then as soon as Shelby Miller took the mound, I don't know, it just didn't look quite right. He looked very hittable, which, I mean, he's not a like massive swing and miss guy. He's not like the Cardinals closer who absolutely blew the doors off of us. He's not that kind of pitcher. Foley is, but he just, I don't know, man, that was tough. He's going so good. How could we possibly lose this game? And then we found a way to lose the game.
I had a buddy text me. We were just talking about it. Shout out Dave Schaller. And, yeah, I mean, we both said this. I mean, it's one loss in a season of 162 games, but that's a loss that sticks with you for a minute. It's going to sting for a while because it was just kind of like the storybook game and you feel really good about it, you know. But throughout the game, I just was this team makes me uncomfortable with anything less than like a 3-run lead, because if it's one or two, and despite how good the bullpen has been, there's always that opportunity where you're going to get your heart shattered at the last moment. And it happened yet again.
And you're asking for a real performance for us to be up 3 runs. So that's a tough one. Although it looks like we just scored again, so we at least equalized. Jake Rogers in play run, comma, or in parentheses S. So I'm not sure why I'm giving you the play by play. By now, you'll know if we won or lost.
Jordan, I've got a wild stat for you that I just saw pop up on the TV, and it flies in the face of what we're going to talk about later in this episode and flies in the face of Tigers Twitter. But who do you think is tied for the most doubles in the American League this season? On the Tigers.
I guess Riley
Spencer Scanlon? Spencer Torkelson.
Really?
Huh. Unless that was an errant graphic on my television, but I digress. Huh. Yes. Jake Roser just sacrifice ground out RBI.
All right. Tie ball game. There we go. All right. So let's go back, take a look through the past week. We had two different series that things go just slightly different. We sweep both of them. We come away 4-2. Not a bad week. Like that's something that good teams do. Nice come from behind in Tampa last Tuesday when we were recording. That was the game that Riley hit two homers. And then Wednesday, that was the game that we were down, I think like 4-2, 5-2, something like that. We came back only to cough it up again. Honestly, it was kind of like the game today where it really felt like this game was just ours. Like destiny had appointed us the winner of this game. And then the freaking Australian dude hit the homer just inside the pole and we lost. Oh man, that was frustrating, especially to do it in Tampa. That's not a good team. As much as you always assume like, oh, Tampa, that's not a good team.
Yeah. They're having a rough start. I think, they had an opportunity squandered for two sweeps. I mean, I'm never going to get greedy and say, if you're winning series on the road, that's a bad thing at all. So
yeah, for
it's
sure.
And it's really good that they got Minnesota while they were down because they're just not a heater right now. And then you go down to Tampa Bay, which it's never, regardless of the season they have, the Tigers never perform there and they're never easy to beat at home. So you take two or three from those two. But yeah, they could have won six there, definitely, if some breaks had gone the other way and some timely pitching was needed in those moments. But on the whole, I'm pretty happy, and I was sliding into this series thrilled. I didn't like the rain out, but here we are on a doubleheader, and they have to win this game in my mind, Jordan. This is,
yes,
it's got to be a must. After you lose that last game, it's a must win.
You got to come back and win it. Like you say, it is getting a little bit greedy. Going 4-2 and being pissed off about it is a little bit champagne problems. Like when would we be pissed about that last year? Just at no point. But yeah, definitely. We'll take it. Friday, Seth Lugo apparently is just the greatest pitcher in the history of the world. In a long line of us getting dominated by not very good pitchers, that was right up there with one of the most embarrassing. He looked absolutely incredible. I will tip the cap to him. Like, he has actually really good numbers. It's not just us. And then the Tyler Holton blow up. Anyway, that game felt extremely winnable. If homeboy in right field hadn't stolen Parker Meadows' homer, that would have looked very different. Also, I feel like there should be some sort of fraternity within baseball. Parker's hitting like 050. He hits a ball that far. You got to do him a little bit of a solid and let that get out. That's breaking some sort of bro code, if you ask me.
It was not very gentlemanly, was it?
What a douche. Anyway, it was nice to bounce back this weekend, especially against Brady Singer and Michael Wacha. Like that, those are two fairly good pitchers. And honestly, like, it's kind of like baseball's kind of about like avoiding the long skids. I feel like those kind of back to back losses could easily aspire into four or five, which if we don't win this one, maybe it will. I don't know exactly. And in past years, I think it would have, but we can ground out the. I never know. Is it grinded or ground? We grinded out one on Saturday against Singer when Casey didn't have his best stuff. And then, you know, you turn to Scooble as like that guy that you can always rely on. And he did his thing. Like, we Cy are Scoob, an extremely man. Flawed team, but we like, that's what good teams do. Yeah.
Yeah. They're finding a way to win despite what we say on this podcast. And I'm like inherently cynical, but I'm trying to stay as positive as possible because they're an above 500 team. They've won three series in a row and they're grinding it out. As you said, they're finding ways to win. It doesn't always look pretty. Most of the time it doesn't look pretty. There's some part of the three phases of the game that aren't going well, but hey, you can't knock it. I mean, this is the best they've looked in a decade plus. Well, maybe not plus, but better part of a decade, let's say.
Right, this somewhere right in there. As crazy as that sounds.
Wenzel Perez, so, baby! Let's go!
What'd he do?
He just two-run shot to put the Tigers up 7-5. That's his second home run today, Jordan. I know it's doubleheader, one in each game so far, but this kid, He is giving me faith in rookies again because, hey, Parker Meadows, Cole Keith, love ya. Can't wait to see what you're going to do in the future. But Wenzel Perez, right here, right now, baby.
Future is now. Man, love it from Wenzel. Definitely. Let's go. So that leaves us 7-5. What if the bullpen came in and just shut him down from here on out? What if? What an idea.
I sure hope so. Because as much as they were lauded in the beginning of the season as the best bullpen in baseball, they'd look a little shaky these last couple games here.
Yeah. Your boy Buddy Kennedy is gone. I'm assuming he went back to selling used cars at this point. Like you can't be named Buddy Kennedy and not end up, you know, trying to get somebody into a pre-owned Kia, you know, something like that. He's gone, but Andy Ibañez is back. You pumped?
It's kind of funny expecting Andy Ibañez to be the shot in the arm that this organization needs, but he was just mashing in the short time that he was in Toledo, and he comes right back up and he gets two hits to start the first game that he's in, you know, and they weren't, you know, rockets by any means, but yeah, he provides a little bit of energy, a little bit of excitement that this team needs, in my opinion. And it also is going to put some pressure on the lower half of the lineup who isn't performing to really pick it up, because there's going to be a point in time where we stop talking about, oh, they're hitting the ball hard, you know, they're doing all the right things. It's just not happening. We're getting to the point of the season where results need to matter because they're going for a playoff run, and there are people that are performing in Toledo, and it might be time to see them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know we think of Ibañez as this like left-hand pitching hitting savant, but he is hitting 265, last year he hit 265 against right-handers. So it's not like he can't hit righties. I'm assuming Urshela probably isn't too far down the line. Do you think it's Cole Keith that goes down when he comes back?
I don't. And I'm not saying that for any other reason other than a gut level feeling that it's going to be somebody else. But I think they're going to give him a little bit more time, deserved or not.
Do you think it's going to be Cole Keith? Almost has to be him or Parker Meadows. You can't send Wenzel down.
Nope.
I don't think. So I think that leaves him or Parker, which honestly, either one is probably fine.
Or perhaps my buddy, my guy, Zach McKinstry.
That would be
a little bit more of a DFA move than anything, but I don't know. I got a weird feeling about it. He very well could be the choice, and the numbers would point to it. It's time to give him a little bit of a mental reset, but we'll see. I think Rochelle is
extra base hits he has on the year.
Cole Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 4.
He has 1.
Oh,
that was my exact reaction when I looked that up. I'm like, I can't remember one. Like, surely there are some that I'm forgetting. Turns out there was only one that I was forgetting. Yeah, that's a big yikes. And he plays. To go back to when you got yourself in Twitter trouble earlier, like, he's a good player and like he's eventually going to come due, but it is okay to send guys down. The Orioles just sent down Jackson Holliday. It didn't kill him, to the best of my knowledge. I believe he still has a pulse. It almost seems like Colt kind of just needs almost like a mound visit, somebody just to give him a second to breathe. And I think maybe a quick trip down to Toledo might, like, we've seen it happen in the past. He kind of seems like a fighter. I think he would come back well. I don't know. I'm probably ready for that personally when Urshela is ready. Because, you put Ibañez there most days. I'm good with that.
I hope it is, Cole Keith. And you just brought up a phenomenal point. Somebody getting sent down for the first time, mind you, because he still has all three options, does not mean the kid's a bust, does not mean the kid's not going to hit in the future, doesn't mean he's not going to be a major part of this team this season. But sometimes...
Right. Absolutely.
The doubt will just creep in. And, you know, in the Rays series, I think it was George Lombard that was literally telling him to pick his head up because it just wasn't finding the holes. And it just might have like permeated so much that he just lost his confidence and aggressiveness. And he's just unlucky at this part of the game. It just might be time. And, you know, he's probably going to go down and mash in Toledo. And maybe that's just what he needs to pick his spirits up, come right back up and hit up here, kid. But wow, that is that stat that you just gave me about the one extra base hit is wildly telling. He's an everyday player.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's bad. Speaking of Toledo, let's talk about Torque. So it's not going well. I feel like, was it last week or the week before? I was pretty bullish on the signs that we had seen from him. Turns out that those were momentary. He's making me mad. I think he's making you mad. He's certainly making Tiger Twitter mad. I think, how would you feel about if on this show we set a talk embargo on him until he reaches a certain level of at bats? I'm thinking either 200 or 250. Just, it is going to be what it's going to be, and maybe we check back in a little bit down the road. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm fully on board, because I'm just to the point where I'm not going to say nice things about Spencer Torkelson. I don't want to be that guy. The results are the results. He is not playing well in any part of the game. The at-bats look bad. The defense is objectively bad. He's not hitting the ball with any kind of authority. He looks lost to the plate, walks up there, and he might as well be 0-2 during every at-bat. I mean, he's walking at a decent clip in all actuality, but yeah, I'd like to see him dropped even further in the lineup. I was happy to see that he was hitting fifth today. Still too high for my taste. I mean, you kind of have to get it to a point where he needs to earn his way back. He has been, you know, last season, he had a good season, but he hasn't earned anything this season. If his name wasn't Spencer Torkelson, he wouldn't be here, right?
Yes.
Now.
That's a really good point. Absolutely.
So there comes a point in my mind where, like, the organization kind of needs to take kid gloves off and just say, sink or swim, what are you going to do? This is your career. And as it stands right now, you were hurting the team. So
I
think 200 at bats, and that's when we originally brought it up, the potential of him getting set down. I said, let's take a look at his stats, 200 at bats, and let's revisit that at 200 at bats. We'll talk about him anecdotally, but I'm with you. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about him anymore, because to me, he's any other player in the system right now.
Yeah, I feel like I want to reserve the right, if he has like a 3-homer game, to talk about him in a good way. But it's got to be something extraordinary. We don't want to break our own rules. Without rules, what are we? So
right. You and I both like Spencer Torkelson and want him to succeed. But I think it is only fair to call it like we see it. And at a certain point, you just have to say the results aren't there. And he has been a negative player, literally and figuratively, this season. So Spencer Torkelson, see you in 100 at-bats or whatever it is.
Checking back in on the stat, he is definitely not he doesn't lead. He leads the Tigers in doubles. I guess that's the stat. He is at 8 doubles, and Shohei has 14.
I was lied to.
Yeah. False. Johnny Cain, probably.
Fake news.
It is funny looking at the leaderboard for doubles. Most guys are between, you know, high ones, you know, low singles in war, and then mixed in with all these 1.1, 1.2, 2.0 is Torkelson with negative 1.0. So he's keeping company. I don't know exactly what to make of that, but he is keeping some sort of company. All right, let's jump to apparently the man of the hour again. We had this from this morning. Let's give some props to our boy Wenzel Perez. Dude has, you said it when he came up, you're like, this is a guy that can be a shot in the arm at a time when we needed all of the B shots that we could possibly pump into our system. Other than Skubal, he won us the game on Sunday. It sounds like he's about to win us the game again. I didn't see this coming. You were kind of on it.
You talk about taking advantage of an opportunity when you have it, because he was not lighting the world on fire at Toledo. He had fairly modest numbers when he got called up, but he's been an exciting player to watch. He's been a decent player in the field, minus that absolutely horrible error when him and Parker Meadows, couldn't figure out who wanted the ball. But
I don't think that ever happened again. I think we've completely men in blacked that from our mind. I mean, didn't happen.
Yeah, he made a nice play in the outfield in the loss earlier today. And he's got so much confidence right now from AJ Hinch that he's hitting in the two hole. He's hitting in the three hole. He's hitting cleanup. I mean, when have we ever seen that from a Tigers rookie who wasn't, you know, billed as one of the top prospects? This kid was never in his career a top 100 prospect, but he's come up here and he's looked the part. And, I love it. Two homers in the game today. And, I saw another stat, which I don't know how much of this is true based on what you just said, but he was the first Tigers hitter to hit a home run from each side of the plate because he switched hitter since V-Mart in 18 or so, whatever the stat was. But that's exciting, Bert Jordan. Like, fire up, Wentzel, let's go.
It is kind of wild. Yeah, it's probably been a very long time since we've had a switch hitter. It's kind of nice to have a switch hitter in the lineup. I mean, you don't really think about it so much anymore because people almost never are, but that is a nice look.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Luxury to have somebody that plays a really good outfield, plays a decent outfield. I do want to, I'm the type of guy that got really carried away with Brendan Bosch. I don't to get carried away here. I do think there are limitations here, and I do think he probably will get found out. But guess what? He's winning ball games for us right now. Who cares? Like, I don't really care. Buddy Kennedy came up and hit a home run that helped us win a game. Like, before he went back to selling used cars, he was a contributor on this team. I guess all that really matters is, like, what guys are doing right now. So, massive kudos to Wentzel. What a stud.
It has been years since they've had lightning in a bottle like this, and I'm here for it. Keep on hitting, kid. Keep playing your game. Keep making a name for yourself, and you'll stick up here no problem.
I am a little bit concerned. He only has 4 walks in 39 at-bats. I do think the plate discipline eventually will catch up to him. But hopefully that's like a long way down the line.
Yeah.
Give us a Chris Shelton month, and you can do whatever you want for the rest of your career.
Big red. Yeah, last point on Brendan Bosch, which probably the only mention he'll ever have in this podcast, but I had his jersey in college, and I was so sure that he was more than a flash in the pan, and sure enough, proven wrong.
I feel like flash in the pan is maybe a little light on him. He was a decent contributor for like 2.5 years.
That's fair. Okay.
Also, I don't even really remember if that's true. I have fond memories looking back, so I'm always going to exaggerate how much of a contributor he was.
Fair enough. How about our boy Scoobs?
Oh my gosh, that was so I was running for the first part of it, so I was listening to Dan, and then I got home and watched, so I had both of like Benetti and Dan talking about it. Like, it is so cool to watch one of our pitchers do that again, especially considering how like spoiled we got for all those years with Verlander and Max, and even like Anibal and Pfister, all those guys that like they weren't quite as, you know, headlinesy, but very good too. And for one of our guys to just basically be untouchable it's fun.
And tell me if I'm off base here, but I don't think that we've had a pitcher with this kind of an aura where you're expecting him to win every time he takes the ball and just kind of mows down the other team and is just an intimidating presence on the mound since Justin Verlander himself.
I feel like there was kind of a hit or miss period where Fulmer was kind of that way. Like early career, like maybe after I mean, he was really good his rookie year. I think he might have even won Rookie of the Year. And then his second year, he was pretty good too. But yeah, I mean, it was never like this. He is top 10 in ERA, wins, innings pitched, strikeouts per 9, pitching war, and whip. I mean, that's basically everything.
And it's so beautiful that he's a homegrown player, 9th round pick, and just I mean, it's great. He's coming into the pitcher that we were hoping and praying one of those big four or five could be a couple of years ago. I didn't have it being him. I thought it would be between Casey Mize and the ghost of Franklin Perez, but I'm here for it. I am absolutely here for it. And he is the betting odds favorite for Cy Young in the American League this season, or as it stands right now. That's crazy.
It's crazy. And I mean, if the season ended today, I don't think there would be any sort of debate. I think it's kind of close between him. I can't remember who was second. I think Burns from Baltimore. I think the only thing that's built in there is like health. Mm-hmm. I think if he does what he continues to do for the full season, it'll be a runaway, which is crazy. I do have a really simple question for you. What went right in the development of Derek Skubal?
Oh, so this is somewhat of like a nerdy conspiracy, but I have always
heard, I am here for this. Let's go.
Heard that he had dynamic stuff in college. I don't pretend to know that I've gone that back. Far back in the annals of college baseball. But when he was at Seattle, he had dynamic stuff, had Tommy John. And I heard that Scott Boras had tipped off the Tigers organization that this guy was going to be special. They scooped him up in the ninth round. If you remember, he flew through the system. So I think it's a combination of always having the talent and the ability, and then getting matched with arguably one of the best pitching coaches in the game, Chris Fetter. It's a recipe for amazing success. And we're seeing it in real time. I don't know if I have anything more than that. You know, sometimes you're going to hit on guys and they seem to have really hit on him. So I'm thrilled to see it. I want to see more of it. He's only going to continue to grow into an exceptional pitcher. I'm not wildly concerned about arm injuries because he's already had TJ, but you know, let's hope and pray that he just continues to be the stellar pitcher he has shown so far.
Yeah, definitely.
Let me pull that same question to you though.
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I think this, and this isn't necessarily based on anything other than kind of, I think getting Tommy John out of the way early was a good thing for him. I think it can be for some guys, almost like when quarterbacks, sit for a year after they're drafted, and just kind of watch. I'm assuming you almost rediscover how to pitch, what pitching means when all you can do is watch other people do it. I never threw nearly hard enough to need anything like that. So I didn't experience a period like that, but I did not be good enough to play a lot. So I did have quite a bit of experience of watching other people on the bump. And like, if what you're doing is something that you like, you don't get the chance, I feel like all that is left for you is to like watch what someone else is doing and figure out what can I pull? What can I learn? Cause if not, like, baseball is a long game. You're watching a lot of boring baseball. If you're not bringing something to yourself. So I got to think that the extra almost mental development, cause he's a mentality bulldog out there. Like he's got that dog in him. And you know, maybe that's where it came from. Maybe not. I don't know. It could be just a cockamamie theory. And also I do agree. And I love your conspiracy theory. Cause like clearly he is not a ninth round talent. That was clear very early on that was one that Al Avila actually got right. So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of analysis, not on the backfields, but
no, I love your backup quarterback analogy, and let's hope that Casey Mize gets a little bit of that coming back from definitely. The same surgery. Had a year to kind of watch and develop, and he says he's never felt better. So if we can have a similar, you know, they're not similar pitchers in any way, but similar trajectory, we got something cooking for the next couple of years.
Got something cooking. So a doubleheader today, or let's just jump ahead to the next week. Doubleheader today against St. Louis. Let's see. It is end of six. We are up 7-5. So let's close this one out, boys. Tomorrow, Miles Mikolas against Kenta Maeda. I've started to get into watching Maeda. I feel like I was like, it's kind of, I viewed him like spinach. Like, you know, it's kind of good for you and it like, it's a good result, but like, I'm probably good on it, but I've developed a different level of appreciation for watching him pitch. And hopefully against a not so good team like St. Louis, he'll have a good outing. I don't know. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's eating your greens, right? Like, you can't get up from the table until you eat your greens, and you can't get through every 5 days without seeing Kenta Maeda. But some of these greens are starting to taste a little more cooked and spiced up a little bit. So yeah, Kenta Maeda, I still have quite a bit of patience with him. The first couple starts were bad. People were ready to write him off right away, but he's a slow starter as it is. And after he came back last year from injury, he was one of the best pitchers Minnesota had. So, you know, he's mid-30s guy. The velocity is still a bit down, but he can still be that innings eater that they envisioned when they signed him. And I absolutely holding out hope that he will be.
Yeah, definitely. Thursday off, and then we go to Yankee Stadium for 3. They're a nice little team. We're going to face, if my math is correct, Stroman, Clark Schmidt, and Nestor Cortes, who has about the fiercest mustache game going. It'll be a good test. We feel like we've kind of got roasted for a while now for not playing good teams. Going to play them and then start 3 in Cleveland. So that kind of we're going to see where we're at. That's definitely in our near future again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both series, but particularly Cleveland. I want a test, an eye test, to see how they stack up against Cleveland. How real are they? You know, best record in the entire league, best run differential. Are they really the bulldogs of the entire league that came out of somewhat nowhere? Or is this just a hot start and they're peaking early and they're going to, you know, kind of fall back to maybe not a 500 team, but they're not going to be world beaters. So I'm excited. I like divisional games that way. Like I said, I'm glad that we don't have to see Minnesota until later in the summer, the way that they're playing right now. But I was happy that we were able to.
Let's let them work that out for sure.
Knock off Minnesota, knock off Kansas City, knock off Cleveland or Chicago. So I hope we can walk into Cleveland and take care of business there too.
Yeah. Plus 46 run differential on the year. Man, that is impressive. So I quick mental math, and obviously I could be wrong on this, but I don't think Scooble is lined up to pitch that series, which sucks. But
I'm glad I didn't just say, but they haven't seen Tarik Skubal, because I was,
I mean, maybe my math, hopefully my math, I'd much rather him go against them than the Yanks, but, yeah, that'll be fun. We want to watch our teams play good teams. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong, even if we take it on the chin.
Indeed. Well said.
Yeah. Ready to go down on the farm?
Let's go down on the farm.
Get him up, Tiger. Get him up. 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 Eat him up!
All right. Your boy, Kevin McGonigal, has gotten off to a nice little start down in Lakeland. 11 at-bats over the course of a couple games. He is 5 for 11. That's a 455 batting average. Hitting for some pop, too. Kind of making that Max Clark thing not look quite so bad, especially the way Max is playing.
Yeah, I am all for it. And these two in my mind are always going to be a little bit tied at the hip. So the fact that they're both starting to taste some early season success down at Lakeland just has me absolutely giddy. You know, McGonigal came off the IL and just started hitting right away. And that's exactly what you like to see. And he's a special. Max Clark said in an interview, once this kid gets going, it's special to watch. I mean, he just heats up and he stays hot. So, you know, keep mashing down there. And I know I said it last week, but I'd like to see them in West Michigan, you know, maybe July, August time for a little bit of the playoff stretch run down there. Up there.
So bold prediction here. Actually, I don't know if it's bold. I'm not in the prospect world enough to know, but I bet he ends up this season as a top 100 prospect.
I agree. I think he should be, with the pedigree, ability, and results, albeit incredibly early.
Yeah. Look at us with two exciting young high school draft picks down in the lower reaches of the minors. It's been a minute.
And they got another one in the mid-levels of the minor, who I see you have this show sheet as well. One Jackson Job.
Oh, yeah. his last time out against Harrisburg, he always apparently seems to pitch against Harrisburg. Walked the leadoff man, then retired 12 in a row, 6 of them via the strikeout. he only is pitching kind of four innings at a time, which, I mean, that's not a big deal. You want to save bullets. It's not like he's going to be asked to make a major league start anytime in the near future. The walks are still an issue. Really need him to tone that down. But when you're not giving up any hits, the whip ends up still looking okay at the end of the day. He's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. He is right up there in terms of expectations and excitement that I'd say Mize, Scooble, Manning, any of those guys when they were in the minor leagues. And he's just got electric dynamite stuff. I'm with you on the walks. Got to cut those down. But to your point, if nobody's getting hits off him, it's not going to kill you down there. It'll kill you in the majors. And he's got to dial that in. But yeah, let him kind of figure out his repertoire, walk a few guys. You know, if he gets knocked around, it's not the worst thing in the world. I love to see when prospects have to face some adversity, but results have been killer so far for the reigning Eastern League champion, Erie Seawolves.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah.
The only other note I have is your boy and mine, Akil Baddoo, quietly having a nice little year at Toledo. 293 on base, north of .400. He's got a couple bombs, OPS of 920. He's still only 25. I didn't check to see if he was still in the 40 man. I mean, I just spaced that one. But we've seen it at times. It is there. We need to see it more consistently. If he keeps this up over the course of half a year, he might land himself another chance to see what he can do, especially if Parker doesn't pick it up.
I think we will absolutely see him at some point during this season. Parker Meadows is his leash is getting shorter and shorter before you're going to have to make a decision on him. And I think our boy Akil might be the natural choice to come north because, you know, you know what you have. And he's been, he hasn't been doing anything in Toledo to say that he doesn't deserve that shot when the time comes. So keep hitting down there, Akil. Love to see it, buddy. And still only 25 years old. So way too early to be written off completely in my mind.
Definitely. Do you have a Tiger King crown to give away for the week?
Is it fair to give it to Jack Flaherty?
I think so.
Jack Flaherty is my Tiger King this week.
I believe he tied an AL record with most strikeouts to start a game.
Yeah.
That's a record holder we're talking about.
Yep. Still got the no decision.
It is a tough break, man.
How about you?
His mom was into it. I'm going to go with Enzo, the kid that that caught Wenzel's first homer.
That's cool.
He was nice enough to give it back to him. He seemed to be really enjoying the case that the autograph ball that he was given came in during his Trevor Thompson interview. It is cool. And honestly, kind of in the same boat, I love watching Wenzel's face when he does good. Like, he is so happy and so excited. And joy is cool. We should embrace that when people have genuine emotions.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, the 2024
Enzo,
I love it. Enzo, congratulations, bud. And I was just gonna add to your point about Wenzel Perez, like, this is a team of largely understated personalities. Like, there's not too many guys who are fiery at all, in my opinion. Even Javier Baez, he's got a lot of swagger to him, but he's not, other than you know, a couple times that he gets real fired up over that pitcher who his name escaped
me. Amir Garrett.
Yeah, Amir Garrett, who I don't even know if it's in the league anymore. You don't see a lot of, like, passion out of these guys, but Wenzel Perez just looks like a kid playing a kid's game, and that's what it's all about to me. So he's injecting some youth and energy into it and some winning ways. So love it. And it was perfect that rookie's first home run was caught by a very young fan. I thought that was very serendipitous.
Yeah, that's cool. It should always happen.
I agree.
I don't know how you make that happen, but it should always happen. We'll put our intern on it.
Should we get into some listener questions here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Aaron Caverly on Twitter. When Gio Urshela comes back, what is the roster move? Can't send Perez back to AAA the way he is playing, correct?
The more I think about it, the more I'm into your McKinstry idea. he has been a very good, he has been a dedicated troop for the team. He has done everything that has been asked of him. He is a limited player and somebody that I think we probably have a couple more of down in AAA if we have the itch for a guy like him down the road. I don't think he is discernibly better than Buddy Kennedy or many others. I know that he has ties to the central part of the state, that which will make him a favorite of some. But yeah, I'm gonna go with McKinstry. I think that's the play.
It would hurt me to see Zach McKinstry go. You know, he's my guy. Fire up chips. But yeah, I think talking objectively and practically, that could very well be the case. So Wenzel Perez, to answer the question, I don't think he's going anywhere. Between the two rookies, I think Meadows might go down sooner than Cole Keith, but that's just gut level feeling. There's nothing behind that. But yeah, thanks, Aaron, for the question.
Yeah, we can't afford for Wenzel to go anywhere. He's like, he's the extent of our offense.
Tommy Greer on Twitter, does Scooble remind you of early Verlander type stuff? Increased velocity as the game goes on is something rare. I know we talked a little bit about this, but any familiarity with you between JV and TS?
I mean, it's hard to say no. Like he has that same, I feel like bravado isn't the right word, but I think you said presence. He's got that same presence on the mound that Verlander has. And like you say, guys typically don't gain velocity. Like it's something that I think you're born with, to just get looser and get better and stronger as the game goes. And I mean, if Scooble can imitate even 2/3 of what Verlander did for us, I mean, that would be unbelievable. So I would love for him to be in that same early Verlander type era.
Oh, it'd be huge. And if things improve, or not improve, but continue for Scooble, he could be starting the All-Star game this year.
Yeah, that's trying to think about that. That would be, when's the last time we've had a non, well, we got to take somebody All-Star?
Yeah, no kidding. It's actually going to be based on performance and merit this year, which you could say Riley Green might be right there too. We might have our first year of having more than one All-Star since the mid 2010s.
That would be like actually kind of weird to look up and see more than one. It would be so nice, but that'd be an experience. I'm in for that. Let's do that. And then if that happens, we'll have to go to the game, I think. Add that to the list.
I'm in for it. Joshua Zink or Zinky on Twitter. Thoughts on Wilmer Flores not starting in Toledo?
I'm going to flip this to you. What are your thoughts?
We both disagreed with it earlier in the season, but they must have a plan to utilize his skill set coming out of the bullpen, and they're trying to get up. In my opinion, this is a move to get him up sooner than later. My preference would have been to keep him stretched out and in the starting rotation, but I'm also not a major league GM. So, you know, chalk me up as skeptical on the move, but I'm intrigued to see what the fruit may bear. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I would mostly say exactly the same thing. My assumption would be that Matt Manning obviously is ahead of him on the, if we need a starter depth chart, I'd assume Montero is also. So if you're that far down on a team that fancies itself a contender, yeah, I guess kind of moving him into a spot where he can actually potentially help you is the right call. I don't know. I agree. I'm still skeptical. I would have liked to have seen him stretched out and make sure he's not a starter before you make that call. But I agree. We are in a period of Tigers baseball where management has kind of earned our trust, at least in the meantime. So I'll roll with him.
But I had, you know, some people were calling to see him be kind of groomed as his next closer earlier in the season.
Oh, I could see that.
So perhaps they're thinking late inning leverage for Mr. Flores, who I want him to go back to that greasy flow that he had. He had some real long hair in the minors, and I think that is where he draws his power from. So I'd like to see it again.
I mean, if he's going to hang out with our bullpen guys, he's going to have it. I don't think there's any getting around that.
Gio Urshela is on the TV right now, and he looks like a Sith Lord. I just love it.
I got to be honest with you. I do not know what that means, but it sounds either really good or bad.
Oh, it's a Star Wars reference. They're the bad guys. Pay no mind to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looks bad. That was what I was going with.
Your boy Jordan Ryan on Twitter. On a scale of 9 to 10, how terrified are you of the charging White Sox who just completed the sweep of the same Tampa Bay Rays, correct, that we just saw?
They did. Well, first of all, I've not a gambling podcast, but I have a strategy of fading the White Sox every night, taking them to lose by or whoever they're playing to cover 1.5 runs. It has served me extremely well over the course of the season. It's been a rough couple nights on that front. I haven't checked to see how they're doing tonight. So the three in Tampa that they won, that was not my favorite. But I mean, they are just a genuinely horrific baseball team. So, not terrified in the slightest. I feel like we went into last year thinking like things would have to break well, but there's talent there that the White Sox could actually be a really good team. To go from that to where we're at now is staggering. I don't know what happened. It is funny, but I don't know what happened.
Are the White Sox your most hated team in the entire league?
Probably. I don't exactly know why. And like you say, the three, the Cards, the Giants, and the Red Sox, I have historical beef with. So I obviously don't like them either. But just in terms of like, I look at them and I go, ugh, probably the White Sox.
Yeah. I'm into it.
And the Guardians, because they're from Ohio. The entire state makes me do that. So,
and you know mine. Riley Green just absolutely murdered a baseball. Let's go. Riley Green, we gotta keep talking. Yeah. Yep. Solo bomb, seventh of the season. We gotta start talking about Riley Green in the MVP category, at least as it stands right now.
Yeah. He's a freak. Also, I'm pretty sure that's the third home run he's hit while we've been recording podcasts this year.
We need to do those, like one of those 24 hour, those 24 hour dance marathons they do for charity. We need to do like a 24 hour live podcast that no one will listen to.
And the charity is him hitting home runs. I like it. Absolutely. It's near and dear to my heart.
And that is it for questions this week. Thank you very much for everybody who submitted questions. Genuinely appreciate you. Anything you want to wrap about before we close for this week?
Oh, yes, of course. The biggest event in the sporting world is happening on Saturday, the first Saturday in May, the Kentucky Derby. I am hosting a party. For many who know me, I am deeply introverted. So hosting a party is not typically my thing, but I do want to share my love of the horses with the entire world. I'm hosting at my boss's house because his house is much larger than mine. Not really sure why I'm getting into this because you're obviously invited, but none of the listeners are. but I'm super excited. I'm going to win a ton of money. That's how gambling always works. Definitely going to bankrupt them. And my horse Fierceness is out of the 17 spot. That's my guy. I've been riding with him forever. He is a mercurial talent. If things go his way, he's going to win a triple crown, but he doesn't like to be touched, which I completely understand. So yeah, Fierceness, the 17 horse. That's what you're betting.
I am going with Tungsten Stumbrero. I just made it.
If there was a horse named that, I would jump ship immediately.
I love the name.
That's a horse
horses.
I can get down
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. Well, no, I'm excited for you. I know that's a big deal for you. So we're definitely going to have to talk about it next week. You got some mint ropes planned for your party?
Not a booze guy. I have had bourbon once in my life. Very much did not like it. So no, it's kind of a BYOB thing. Mainly just because I wouldn't even know how to purchase alcohol that people would like. I would walk into the store and I would not have an idea. I'd probably come back with fruity girl drinks or whatever.
Drinks are non-gendered. So. Let me tell you this. My favorite tropical drink is a pina colada. And if anybody wants to laugh at that, I'm going to tell you, nobody's too much of a man to drink a pina colada. And I will live and die by that.
What's the, I feel like as a adult human, I should know this, but what's the like flavor profile on that? What fruits are we dealing with?
It's like a coconut pineapple mix. So you got your pineapple rum, you've got a lot of pineapple ice and kind of like a coconut froth almost. And it's kind of like a slushy texture consistency. It's delicious. And you can mix
outside of the booze. It does sound delicious.
You mix that with a strawberry daiquiri. It's called a Miami Vice, which is also delicious.
I like it. I'm learning so much. So, I had no idea.
Well, Jordan, it's always a true pleasure and honor to speak with you on a weekly basis. I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in once again. Every week, new episodes on Wednesday. You can follow Jordan at hosted by Jay Hall. I am at aurban91, and the show is at Eat 'Em Up Pod. We'll see you next week. Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.